I'm Nina Jaffe, and it's time to say hello again to Marilyn Burns, math mentor to millions of math teachers. Well, maybe tens of thousands, but all those M sounds so good. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Nina. How are you?
Very good. Marilyn Burns is the author of many books about math for both teachers and kids, as well as videos, audio cassettes, and workshops for teachers on how to teach math. Her latest project is Teaching Arithmetic, Lessons at Work for Grades 1 through 6. It's a series of 10 books, and it's published by Marilyn's company, Math Solutions. Marilyn, can you give us a few of the titles in this new series?
Sure. The first 5 books are out now, and we're really excited about them. There's one on lessons for first grade. There's one on lessons for addition and subtraction for grades 2 and 3. And then there's multiplication for grade 3, multiplication for grades 4 and 5, and fractions, the one I worked hardest on for grades 4 or 5.
Hmm. Marilyn, many schools now are using the national standards in mathematics to give a framework to their math curriculum. If teachers need to be able to describe the standards that these lessons are related to, will they be able to do that using the series?
They'll find it all in there, and they'll find it related to the national standards and to many of the state standards as well.
It's a great and terrific new resource for the new millennium.
Well, thanks.
One of Marilyn's continuing themes when she talks about teaching arithmetic is how important it is to relate it to real life. And now that we're into November and Thanksgiving is coming, I understand that you have a Thanksgiving lesson to help teachers understand that relationship between math and real life.
I do. It seems to me that the trouble with cooking the Thanksgiving turkey is that you only do it once a year. And so I have had this experience for myself. You get out the cookbook and you start checking, and how much do I need? How many people are coming? How much stuffing do I need? How much time? The real question is, what time do I get up in the morning and get the turkey into the oven so that we can all sit down at, say, 5 o'clock or whatever time I want to? And this, to me, is a national arithmetic problem that we face as a nation.
So, Marilyn, can you take us through the steps of this math problem?
Well, sure. You read and they say, well, a pound or so per person, so you figure that out. And then you go to the store, and whatever you come up with, there's no bird's exactly that. It's 16 pounds, 5 ounces, 12 pounds, 7 ounces. And then you get that state, and you go over to the aisle where the stuffing is, and you get a... this package makes enough to stuff an 8-pound turkey. So how many bags do I need, and how do I adjust it so I don't have too much stuffing, or that I make sure I have enough stuffing? Then it's so much per pound, but it's different if it's stuffed, and it's different if it's not stuffed. And then, of course, all these warnings, never stuff it the night before, or everybody will get terribly ill from your turkey. And then what do you do with a frozen turkey? It's a myriad of making decisions, all of which are important to make as accurately as you can, knowing that there's no accurate answer, because everyone's standing around there with their own personal way of jiggling the leg and checking the thermometer, and some people just say, I'm getting a pop-up turkey, I'm not thinking about it. But even then, what time are you going to put that turkey in the oven? And you're going to do low heat, high heat, start at high, reduce the heat? I mean, the decisions are enough to drive somebody to have a nervous breakdown.
Not to mention carving the turkey according to how many guests you have.
That's right. And I think that usually the cooks are by that point in complete exhaustion, having fussed with the gravy, and then there's some other person who has to come in and do the science part of the experiment. I'll just do the math.
Right. You're not suggesting that students be cooking the Thanksgiving turkey themselves, although maybe at least helping.
Right.
But why would students benefit from problems that reflect the spirit and intent of the Thanksgiving turkey problem?
Well, I think that children learn a great deal from the adults around them, and I think that too often that the only time they ever see their parents doing anything that relates to arithmetic is when they're complaining. They're paying bills, they can't figure this out, they're grumbling about I don't have enough wallpaper, they're figuring out how much something is needs, but they're not doing it with a great excitement and enthusiasm, and I would love to see this as a family activity where you all just got into it, made the decision together, and worked through it together.
I'm thinking right now of ways that we at home, at my own home, can talk about math instead of the ways that you have described. So this gives a whole new light into improving family life across North America. Right?
Improving family life through arithmetic.
That's right. It's great.
One online about the turkey. You can go online and just type turkey into a search engine. I did and got over 200,000 referrals. So obviously, turkey is a big topic this time of year.
And everyone's trying to solve how to cook it just the right way. Well, cooking turkeys is among many real-life problems in which math and math thinking is required. What are the several phases that children or adults must go through to think through a problem, a real-life problem, mathematically?
Well, first you have to make sense of the situation and figure out what information you need and how to go get it. So you have all this numerical information, whether you're trying to figure out what time do we leave to get to the movies on time, knowing it's Saturday night and parking is tough, or any number of situations that you need to figure out that involve numbers. And then once you have the numbers kind of figured out, the movie starts at 8, takes us 25 minutes to get there, parking, blah, 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 then you have to decide, what do I need to do with the numbers? And that's important. It's not just being able to add, subtract, multiply, and divide, knowing when to use which particular operation or combination of operations. And finally, you come up with an answer. But then what's important is that you look at that answer and think about it in a human way. The answer is just not there. Does this answer make sense? Is this really what I need to do? Will this accomplish what we're looking to solve? And is it the best way?
So there's a level of interpretation even after you've solved the calculations.
Right. It's almost sad to me that when we think about teaching and we think about language arts and social studies, we're always asking children to draw conclusions and couch why those conclusions make sense. That same kind of thinking, I think, needs to be part of arithmetic.
Can you give, for the teachers in the audience, or all of the listeners in the audience, a few more examples of such real-life problems so we can all start thinking about these in new ways?
If I think about problems that make sense in the terms of classroom instruction, like how much does it cost to raise a dog for its life? How long does a dog live? Let's take a medium-sized dog. Right. How much will it cost to feed the dog? What about vet fees? Most kids have pets, and this would be a wonderful activity and exploration. Or if you're having a class party or a field trip, how much will it cost to arrange for this? Or sometimes you have something like a computer room with only so many computers. What's a good way to schedule it so that everybody gets a fair amount of time? I think there's so many things about time that are important. Sometimes I open up a book to read to kids, and I look at the copyright date, and I say, how long ago was this book written?
Right.
And there are so many ways that I think arithmetic can be used in the curriculum with real-life problems that can support basic skills.
In any given classroom, there are many ways that teachers can use materials around the room to give children visual reference points for math as well as other content areas. What do you think are some of the best visual aids, I would like to say, or visual references for math? Do you think graphs are important to have? And how often should they be changed, and how should they be used?
Well, about visual benefits, I look around the room itself. I know that the classroom that I was teaching in this year has holes in the ceiling. And the one was asbestos tile, or those kind of not asbestos, but those acoustical tiles. And so the problem was, how many holes are in the ceiling? We looked at the windows. How many panes are on the windows? How would you figure this out? So a lot of things about the space around us, I think, is very, very important. And the bulletin boards, I love to let the kids get involved with that. I love to have them post their work so that we can use this as a public forum, so that the work on the walls reflects the students and their learning, even in mathematics.
Right. So perhaps instead of having only, you know, pre-published charts with a multiplication table, having work that children have created is also an important reference for math learning in the classroom.
I think so.
Well, Marilyn, thank you very much. And once again, it's been wonderful talking with you.
Same here.
Marilyn Burns will be back again on Teacher Radio, and we'll explore more questions about the current state of arithmetic teaching in American schools. And remember, you can find more about Marilyn's ideas and the whole range of math-related products and services offered by her company by logging onto her website. The company is called Math Solutions, and the website address is www.mathsolutions.com. And you'll get the latest news on Marilyn's new series of books, Teaching Arithmetic, Lessons at Work for Grades 1 through 6. Once again, the Math Solutions website is www.mathsolutions.com. Bye, Marilyn, and I look forward to talking with you again next week.
Bye-bye, Nina.
I'm prepared for Thanksgiving this year.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it.